I don't want them to be upset with me here that we forgot them on this morning. All right, my podcast, but we're there. All right, so what do you mean? Well, what I mean is this. As we learn, there's a set of experiences that computer takes. And that computer takes that set of experiences, and now it gets to a point that it can automatically make decisions for itself. See, I don't have to tell you to breathe. Your body automatically makes that decision for itself. I don't have to tell your heart to beat. Your body automatically makes that decision for itself. If you get poked or you get some kind of outside stimulus to your body has a natural reaction. I don't have to tell you to do that. Your body has all these things already programmed in it that it does it, what we say, involuntarily. It didn't have to think about it. What if, for a moment, if you and I could be in a place where we were what? Involuntarily serving God. That I don't have to think about serving God. I don't have to think about what I should do. I don't have to think about how I should go. Why? Because I'm going to automatically do the right thing every single time. Oh, come on now. Some of you saying that, Pastor, you're reaching here. Now, how you can automatically do the right thing all the time? Well, I'm here to tell you today, just like anything else that's trained, you and I are what creatures of habit, and we can be trained to. We can be trained to. So this is why we're using this computer analogy of machine learning, because what? You teach the machine how to learn. We can teach our bodies how to live holy. We can teach our bodies how to follow Christ's commandments. It's because we don't want to, but that doesn't mean that we cannot be taught. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, we just a hole in this church. We believe in serving God. We just apostolic faith, amen. We believe in baptizing Jesus' name. And I know some of you, now it's time for you to probably go ahead and exit right, and that's okay. But I'm still going to tell it anyway, amen. For God is good and his mercy, that the word of God is still right, that holiness is still right, and God is still calling us to a standard. There is somebody out here living right. Everybody's not out here just living no any old kind of way. Everybody's not just running out here shucking and jiving. But if you want to get it together, you're not looking at a perfect people, but you're looking at the people who are striving to meet God. You're looking at the people who are striving to live right and to treat everybody right. Yeah, when you start preaching like this is the point where people start exiting off stage. When you start preaching like this is the point where people say, well, it was good with the music, but this is where I get off. Why? Because it requires accountability from you. You can't just do any and everything you want to do. You can't just say any and everything you want to say. You can't go any and every place you want to go. You can't hang out with any and everybody. Why? Because you're going to find out today that it's not about me, but it's about we. It's not about me, but it's about we. So what I find is that God has been good to me. And if you follow me on social media, if you follow me anywhere in my life, you'll find that I have my ups and I have my downs. But overall, God has been good to Peter Ely. He's been very good. And I'm trying to give you the secret sauce. And the secret sauce is living holy. Not that I've dotted every I, because I've missed a lot of them. Not that I've crossed every T, because I've missed a whole bunch of them. But I'm here to tell you that it's a step by step, walk by walk, move by move. You want to have what I have? You got to do what I do to get it. And God requires a life of holiness. And it starts with your mentality. If your thinking is stinking, then your life is going to be stinking. I told you all last week, positive mental attitude. I had several situations on this past week that tested me pretty good. And I had to tell myself, Peter, positive mental attitude. How you think about the thing, how you react to the thing. Yes, it was messed up. Yes, it was jacked up from the floor. Yes, they shouldn't have did that. No, they shouldn't have came at you like that. No, you didn't deserve that. But I have decided for me, for my mentality, for my sin, is that the vengeance belongs to the Lord. Because you and I don't know how to carry that judgment out. I have decided that, Lord, if you allowed it to come, then that means I must have the capacity to handle it. I have decided that what I see what's going around and COVID, it affects my family. I've lost some loved ones too, and I miss some. and all the suffering with it right now in their bed. Going through it right now. But you know what? He's still God. There's friends that's on their deathbed right now suffering kidney failure and all kinds of stuff. We got problems too. And what keeps me from putting a 44 to my head? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That balm that I know they say is in Gilead. This mind that's in me that was in Christ Jesus, that's what keeps me from throwing in the towel. That's what keeps me from walking away. I'm trying to give you the secret sauce, and the secret sauce lies in him. Those who want it, you can have it. The sauce is free, but to keep it coming, it's going to cost you something. Why? Because you are the containers of that sauce, and that sauce has some requirements for it to be good. You can't just put that pasta sauce in any old kind of thing. You cannot put that spaghetti sauce in any old kind of thing. There are some requirements if you want the sauce to be good. Now, I can give you some sauce that's just been sitting in a Coke can. It might be all right. But if you want it to be the best it can be, it must be what? In a certified container. I'm here to tell you that when we live a life of holiness unto God, first with our thinking, that what? It becomes a certified container. In that it is God approved. Doesn't mean it can't break, because you and I, sometimes we fall. But the Bible says it that way. He's the potter, and he'll do what? He'll put us back together again. Woo! How many of you know you're glad that we serve a potter who's able to put you back together again when you're broken into pieces? Doesn't mean you don't get off track sometimes. But the sauce is contained inside of us, and we're just that, what, that vessel. You thought we sung those songs by accident to fill me up? What are you filling me up with? Your Holy Ghost, your power, your strength, so that when I have to withstand the wiles of the devil, when the devil, that I am able to stand up and say positive mental attitude, that I'm able to stand up and say, Lord, I know this is not my plight, oh God. I know this is not what you called me to, oh God. But if I can just hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, that victory shall be mine. This is what he's reminding us here on today. So as I talk to you this morning, as I preach to you this morning, and we go into the next part of this. So he's given us a set of experiences already. God has already told us how we should act. And we call them the Beatitudes. Turn to Matthew 5 and 3. Matthew 5 and 3. We've been in Matthew 5 and 3 all month. So if you don't know where anything else is in the Bible, you should know where the Beatitudes at. Matthew 5 and 3. And we got two more that we'll go through. If you missed the other parts of this, I ask that you get an opportunity that you can go back. They all there on our podcast, and they all free of charge. Help yourself, go out there and learn what thus says the Lord. Matthew, we're gonna go to Matthew 5 and 3. And today we are in verses 9 and 10. So every week we've been going through two of these verses. Today we are in verses 9 and 10. So we've been going two every week. God has given us two things that we have to work on every week. Now, this right here, remember the analogy I was giving you about the machine learning. Remember, the machine is given what? A set of experiences. And based off those experiences, it makes decisions. Well, what I'm telling you is, these are the experiences that God has given us. Matthew 5 and 3. These are the experiences that God has laid in our lap. And he said, off of these experiences is how you should act. Based off these experiences is how your mentality should go. Off of these experiences is how you should make your decisions and how you should live your life. I'm here to tell you today that if you can do it off of these experiences, if you can hold these experiences, if you can do these 8 things, if you can hold these things, then what? Yours is the kingdom of God, and God will be well pleased with you. All right, so 9, we're going to go to verse 9, and it says this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, and it says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if I was going to use for you a subject this morning, or to give you a title of today's message, is they eat, then I eat. They eat, then I eat. What are the Beatitudes? The different various Beatitudes, and what this one is telling us is about the peacemakers. There are people on this earth who desire peace. I desire peace. You desire peace. We all like to have peace. Amen. But we see we in a world that just sometimes does not want peace. We know we have people who are just riled up by keeping something stirred up. We know individuals that they are not happy unless they got something riled up. They got somebody talking about somebody. They got somebody in somebody's neck. Or they got somebody worried about this, and they got somebody worried about that. But the Bible tells us that we are to what? To be the peacemakers. That when we see turmoil, when we see situations, when we see circumstance, we are to do what? We are to inject peace. And see, when we talk about this peace here, the thing is that, brothers and sisters, what we must understand is that you and I are a liaison for Christ. What is a liaison? The liaison for Christ is simply this, is that you and I are what? Bridges to Christ. What do you mean that we are bridges, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. What God is telling us to do is that we live holy. Why? So that he can transfer his power through us, that we reach individuals here in the earth. See, people don't just get saved, but just because of God's goodness and his grace, because all those things are not. But what happens is that they see you. They see how you handle life. They see how you handle disappointment. They see how you handle circumstance. They see how you handle when you're not upset. They see how you handle when you're broke. They see how you handle when your family member's sick. They see how you handle when your mama died. They see how you handle when your son is gone. They see how you handle when your job says no. They see how you handle how you walk in the streets when somebody doesn't call you outside of your name. They see how you handle all these different circumstances, and they see and they use you to measure if they want to come to God. Now, I know some people say that wouldn't be fair, Pastor, that why they got to use me? Because you are what? A reflection of God here in the earth. Now, thinking like this, if we are made in the image of God, that means that I should look like God. I should walk like God. I should talk like God. I should move like God. I should think like God. This is why he said, let this mind be in you, who is in what? Christ Jesus. So, therefore, then what? That means I am a reflection of him. So if I am living holy, then what happens is now they can see his reflection. If I'm holding on to him, they can see that, you know what, things are not perfect, but he's able. They can see that it rains on the just as well as the unjust, but I can make it even in this time. Even when things are going wrong, even when things are just going out of wire and it seems like people just have given up. When we're fighting over whether I should be vaccinated or shouldn't be vaccinated. Well, I'm fighting over whether I should wear a mask or not wear a mask. Well, I'm fighting whether I should be voting Democrat or Republican. Who cares? Because at the end of the day, he said, I hold the world in my hand. He says in Isaiah that the government should sit upon his shoulders. He said that by his stripes that we were healed. Mm-hmm. He said, let this mind be in you. So I am a reflection. So what that tells me to do is that what? I am to be what? To insert peace every opportunity I get. We are the peacemakers. Do you not know that the world is doing as good as it's doing because you and I are here? Don't sell yourself short. How you know that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Remember that story, I think it was, oh my goodness, it's Solomon Gomorrah, right? And we know that they destroyed the city. And remember that was, I can't remember the prophet's name, but he was pleading that they don't destroy the city. And he wanted to know, he said, if you can find, what is it? Oh, if you can find 30 good people, I won't destroy the city. If you can find 20 good people, I won't destroy the city. And you can find 10. So what you and I, the Bible tells us in Matthew that you and I are what? The salt of the earth. And what does the salt do? The salt preserves. The salt preserves as it cleanses. This is why we have things like ham and all this stuff. You can cure, what we call cure it with salt. Because what salt would do, salt does what? It takes out all of the water out of it. So now you're just left with the meat. Because what the bacteria things that break stuff down is where it's in the water. It's in the water of that. So what does he do? It pulls it out. So God, what he allows what this earth to exist because you and I are still in it. Because we have a job to do that. He told us in Matthew, the Great Commission, he said, go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which we know to be in the name of Jesus that they did in Acts 2:38 on that day of Pentecost. Then after that, he said that there was going to be more, and that was going to be power that you should get, and it's going to happen to your sons and your daughters, and they were going to be able to prophesy, and they were going to be able to preach and go into the streets and compel them to come. And this is where we are now. So I know the Holy Ghost to be a keeper. And this is why we are what we are. So now what? We have to remind ourselves that it's not about us. For they got to eat before we eat. So what happens is that what? We pour. We are a, think about it as a water hose. That the water comes from the ground. And we're just that hose that is coming up out of to be able to water all the other plants. The water, all the other things. So what does he do? You and I are called to be peacemakers. When you can make peace, make peace. When you can stop a situation, you stop a situation. When you can inject your positive mental attitude, inject your positive mental attitude. When you can go down and you can cut a joke and cut the tension in a situation, you ought to do it. Why? Because the Bible said what? Blessed are the peacemakers. Because see, we're in a world that people want peace, but you know who they want it for? Just themselves, because we're selfish like that. You think about it, without Christ and without us being focused on Christ, then everybody thinks is what? To take care of themselves. This is why we wouldn't take care of the poor. This is why we wouldn't look out for others. This is why we wouldn't go this and wouldn't do this. Why? Because our mentality would be to what? To take care of us. And this is why he tells us that we are in the world system, but we're not of the world system, right? So you be in the world, but not of the world, which means that the world said me, 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 and the Bible says we. And that's not French. So what I mean by we that what? That I live myself as a sacrifice. So yes, I don't want to do this, but I do for the love of Christ. See, on last night, I went, my little brother, he is not that little, but he's my little brother. You know, he called me and said, hey, Pete, I got some football tickets, man. This is my team and this and that, you know. And, you know, I've never been to a pro football game. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, boy, it's like COVID raging out here and all kinds of stuff. But I was willing to sacrifice so that my brother could say that he's been to a football. So therefore, I masked up. I had a pocket full of sanitizer, another whole handful of prayers, and I went prayerfully down to Charlotte last night with my little brother so that he can enjoy himself and we can make memories. Amen. Sometimes you do things because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes that means you might have to sacrifice yourself. Now, I'm not saying you do what I do, because that's your personal decision. But you know there's some things that God has asked you to do that you're capable of doing, but you don't want to do. Why? Because it's going to cost you something. Do you not know that this way and walking holy is going to cost you something? Do you not know being a peacemaker, it's going to cost you something? Do you not know that living righteous, it's going to cost you something? You want the goods, but you don't want to pay the cost. The Holy Ghost is free, but keeping it costs you something. See, it's just like some of you, animal lovers, and I'm an animal lover too. But it's like if I walked up to you and said, here's a brand new puppy. That puppy might cost me $500, $600, $700, $800, who knows, hundreds of dollars. No, dogs can be quite expensive these days. Now that puppy was what I gave it to you. But for that puppy to be growing, for that puppy to be vibrant, for that puppy to be healthy, for that puppy to reach adulthood and full maturity, what does it take? It's going to take some sacrifice on your part. You're going to have to walk him. You're going to have to clean him until he learns to be potty trained. I guess you'll call it housebroken. Mm-hmm. You have to feed him. It's going to cost you something. You have to take him to the vet. You have to get him in shots. When you feed him around other dogs and all kinds of stuff. You have to groom him. You have to get his hair cut every now and then. I know now, you know, they tell me to get the teeth, you know, they get the teeth clean just like humans. These dogs get out, and some dogs get treated better than humans. Mm-hmm. They got insurance policies for them now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I know my parents got dog insurance policy. I'm like, Daddy. He says it's expensive, bro. So they do, you do all these things, but the dog was what? It was a gift. How does a gift end up costing you? It's the maintenance of the gift. And our mentality, this mentality, he told us that this is part of your maintenance of your gift is be what? A peacemaker. Because when you walk in and you be a peacemaker, what happens is you have to step outside of you. Woo! You cannot be walking in your own power when you go to be a peacemaker. Because I know me, I'm 6'2", 6'3", about 250, pretty strong. If I step in to be a peacemaker, I might go in there and be like, you know, I got this. Because I remember that guy. Because I want to go in there on my own brute strength and my own size and my own power and say, I wish somebody would. Y'all get over there, you get over here. When we in the day and time now, them little kids out here, they'll just pull a gun out and just rather blow me away than even hear what I got to say. So that tells me I cannot just go out there on my own, right? But I got to use some wisdom. Uh-huh. Some strength. Where do I get that from? Him. So when I'm operating as peacemaker, because I got him inside of me, I have the secret sauce residing inside of me, it'll tell me how I move, how I can break up that fight and not go in there and try to use my male bravado. It'll tell me what I need to say to this woman over here to calm a storm. It'll tell me what I need to say to this student over here to make it all right. Where do you get that from? Glad you asked. It's from in here where Christ resides. So this is what I'm telling you. This is what automatic things that happen as we continue to train our mentality. Because what? It's them first, then we. Because see, if I'm going to be a peacemaker, I couldn't be thinking in that situation, I'm thinking about myself. Oh no. Because self would be like, that's their business. Self would be like, that's their problem. But when you're a peacemaker and you have that spirit of discernment that lives inside of you, when you have that wisdom of God that resides inside of you, when you have that understanding that resides inside of you and you see people about to harm themselves, both physically, mentally, socially, whatever the case may be, there's a peace that resides inside of you that God said, go say something to her. There's a peace that resides inside of you, God said, step in. There's a peace that resides inside of you, God said, pull up on the side of the road. No, I don't know the people. Pull up on the side of the road. That's what I'm talking about. That peace. Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Watch this. When my wife and I first got married, I know it was our first got married because we didn't stay in our first home probably like, you know, my first apartment like 2 or 3 months. There was a bad snowstorm that came. And we had a small apartment across the street from my parents' house. And I remember like yesterday, we were at my parents' house, and we were seeing the snow come down, and my parents said that time lived off a major highway, and then people were coming down and the road, and they were driving down the road really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And as they were driving down the road really, really fast, this young man was driving a BMW, and this transfer truck came, and he hit him. Boom! And then it knocked that little BMW 5 Series all the way off the street, all the way up into my parents' yard. And at this time, you know, there's a young man there. He was a serviceman. I think he was a Navy man. And he was trying to make it back to Norfolk, Virginia to get back to his call or whatever his duty was so that he wouldn't be considered AWOL. And that, you know, it knocked him up there. And I thought, my goodness, this man just got hit by a transfer truck here in the middle of this snowstorm. this cannot be good. Because, you know, the truck went on down like another mile before he could stop. You know, and we could see the leaking fuel from the car, and the car was pretty bad damaged, but thank God he was able to walk away with his life. You know, we took him out, and, you know, we sat in there. He was of Asian descent, but it didn't matter what he was. But, you know, because people are people. And when God is using you, he don't care what kind of people you are. The Bible says it like this. It says that he has no respect for person. That's man or woman. Mm-hmm. When you're in position to be used by him. So then he's going in, and then so he's laying there on my parents' floor in the house, and he's bleeding a little bit from the mouth, and finally, you know, the paramedics and them get there, and they check him out, and whatever, and he goes on. And at that time, there was some other cars. There was a small little sports car, little yellow car. I don't even remember, maybe a little Geostorm or something. And at this time, what happens is there's two ladies in there. They went to go get some, I think they said they went all the way to Virginia to go buy some lottery tickets. See, this was the time before North Carolina had a lottery. So people would get in their car and they would go north to Virginia. And Henderson and Virginia is just over the border. They would go north to Virginia to go buy lottery tickets and go back. So they went, they left Raleigh, North Carolina, and drove all the way to South Hill, Virginia, just to buy lottery tickets. Now, those of y'all who know what I'm talking about. People do that all the time. They just don't have to leave now, North Carolina now. But on the way back, of course, they got caught into this storm, and they got to a place that what they could not drive any further. Their little two-wheel car, little sports car, you know, the ice and stuff on the road, and these ladies were scared. And they got to a point in time, here they are, they stuck hours away, about an hour away, the roads are no condition to drive on, and here they are stuck. And I never forget, my wife and I made the decision at that time, and this will tell you how much time has changed. To allow two strangers, two complete strangers, one white lady and one black lady, that we was ministering to spend the night in our home with us that we had never met before. Now, I'm not saying y'all do that. I'm not saying we holier than thou, because the truth of the matter is, if that was today, I don't know if we made that decision today. But at that particular point in time, we did. And I can't even recall the lady's name, never seen or heard from them again. But I do believe that night that something was planted. I have to believe that when we get in glory at some point, that I'm going to be able to see her and say, I remember when, and you remember when. And I just have to believe that, because at that point, it wasn't about what we wanted. But all we saw was two ladies who were clearly scared out of their mind. It was clear that they were going to end up in a ditch somewhere that night. And I don't know about you, but my wife and I decided that we cannot live with ourselves knowing that these ladies could wreck or whatever. When we had a little room in our house, we didn't have much room. We had probably one room full of junk. It was one room that we stayed in, amen. But we did offer what we had. Mm-hmm. See, it's not about what you got, you all. It's about the attitude in which you do. And I believe until this day that my wife and I have been blessed because we blessed those people. We didn't know that lady. We didn't know that woman. It was a black lady and a white lady. They were friends. We didn't know them. But yet we opened our house up to these strangers, allowed them to spend the night with us so that they wouldn't freeze to death, they wouldn't be found in a hole somewhere, or something catastrophic happening to them. Now, I know, you know, they're still out. They probably remember, and they probably can recall the time. But I just think about it. It's these little things. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're talking about living a blessed life today. The peacemakers. Are you being a peacemaker? You have an opportunity. So, and the reason I remember so vaguely is because I always remember I had a book called God Chasers by Tommy Tenney. I know some of y'all know that name. You know that book, God Chasers. And I remember I was reading that book and I shared it with her. And she walked away with my book. And I still don't have my book, amen, but nonetheless. And I remember these times. So it's little things along the way that sometimes God has a way of repaying you. It's not about you. It's about we. So what happens is, if you take care of God's people, if you're a peacemaker, if you decide in your head that, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I'm not going to worry about what happens to me. See, so many of us are so worried about what's going to happen to me. The Bible says it like this. He said that if I would feed the birds of the air, mm-hmm, if I would take care of the birds, They don't have no place to rest their head. Why do you have to worry about me taking care of you? I've always taken care of you. Put it like this, he said, I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. All you gotta do is do the work. All you gotta do is do the work, and the Bible says like this, that goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow them all the days of their life. So it ain't that I'm great, but I know goodness and mercy follows me. Can you say that about yourself? I know that God's grace follows me. Can you say that about yourself? I know that he's merciful towards me. Can you say that about yourself? Why? Because this mercy and grace is extended to those who what? Who are walking the walk. Why? Because you're not perfect. So when I do mess up, he said, oh, I got you. Don't worry about that, bro. But Lord, I'm trying. Oh, I felt that. Don't. I got you over here. Grace got you over here, bro. He told Paul that what? His grace was sufficient. Paul kept praying, said, Lord, I got it in my side. Because every time I want to do good, evil is always present. Every time I want to do good, this thing that I struggle with, my mouth, my sexuality, my money, my stinking thinking, those are all things that are thorns in my side. Thorns, they stuck in my side. They all bother me. I struggle with those thorns. I'm scared to show people my side. I'm scared to show them my thorns. But he says that I pray for you day in the day of testing that your faith fail you not. So you know what? You go and you do it anyway. You go and you do it anyway. You go and you do it anyway, Sister Pam. You go and you do it anyway. You go scared. Because blessed are the peacemakers. You start the women's group scared. I don't know. I don't teach it like as well as anybody else. You go scared. You do it anyway. I don't understand the computer, but you go get it anyway. Lord, I don't understand it, but somebody comes in and they give you, God sends somebody in the form of Kayla to help you anyway. But I don't know about this, but then he sends somebody in the form of First Lady and they help you anyway. But Lord, who are we going to reach? Then we get a Sherelle that's from Texas that God brings in and brings the energy and life to the party anyway. Then he brings somebody who brings what this level of security and strength and his graciousness, and he brings a Shay anyway. And there's people who are being ministered to through the women of the well anyway, who wouldn't get any other ministry any other way, because small group is where they are. See, this is why you go scared. See, when we used to play cards, we called it things, we're gonna go blind. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, y'all play. I play cards, too. When we get behind and we get our butt handed to us and we play in space, we have sometimes, boy, we got to go blind. Meaning that, we just got to go for what we know and hope we get the best. And this is called what? Walking by faith and not by sight. Now, the other side of this, and I'm going to be done, is he also says that you'll be persecuted. Persecution is a plot of the believer. So, Pastor, they talking about me. They supposed to. Pastor, they blocking my way. They supposed to. Pastor, they doing this. They supposed to. They own their job. That means you own yours. Look for it. The Bible says man's days are going to be short and that they're going to be full of trouble. But God said, I got you. And he allows these things to come, what? To make sure that you know that you didn't do it. Because if you think you did, you'll stick out here with your chest and you'll have hubris from here to Georgia. But when you understand that, Lord, they lying on me, I don't know how this is going to work out. When you understand, Lord, they set me up, but Lord, you know I'm going to worship you, and then they're going to set me up and they're going to throw me down there in the lion's den because I was praying to you, Lord, when I was supposed to pray, the deal that you and I worked out, Lord, and you told me to go ahead and do it, and they threw me in the lion's den. Lord, when I was Joseph and, Lord, I was trying to be chastised and, Lord, I was holding righteousness and I was doing the right thing, oh God, and I was blessing your people, Lord, and I was working this thing and we was having a good time and then I get accused of something I didn't do. She accused me of rape, oh God. Then I'm thrown into prison, but I have to remember that my gift would make room for me. My gift will make room for me. There's going to be somebody, only I can do this, and I can only do it like that. So therefore, my gift is going to make room for me, so I ain't got to exercise myself in that space. I ain't got to manipulate myself into that space. All I got to do is what? Work the gift. So why did I quit working? Because you were looking for recognition? The Bible says it like this: what you have done in secret, I will reward openly. You haven't given God time. You want it when you want it. I would love to see this place packed from the root to the tomb. I would love to see this place only standing room. But sometimes you got to give God time to work it. Because what God is really doing, he's working some things out of you. So that when it happens, you won't sit up and say, look what I've done. You won't stand up and say, look what we did. You won't stand up and say, look what I did. But I know when he brings them in, and they come in the droves, and they come in by the hundreds, and they come in by the thousands, and they come in and say, what must I do, Pastor, to be saved? Pastor, do you have a pool we can be baptized in? Lord, what must we do? Then I know it was Jehovah Jireh who brought them. He told me to preach the word, and he said, if I shall be lifted up on the earth, then I will draw all men unto me. It's not me, it's we. This is what he's asking of you, that we be automatic in our thinking, that I automatically think about somebody else before I think about myself. Oh, I know this is hard. So if I'm thinking about somebody else before I think about myself, you ain't got to beg me to put a mask on. Come on, somebody. I'm just talking to work. If that's what that's about. They said, that's what they say, right? So you ain't got to beg me to go get this and get this done. You ain't got to beg me about a vaccination, because I understand that even if it's something in me to kill me, that you got me, God. Why? Because Paul got bit by a snake. He was gathering firewood. He was just minding his business. And that snake bit him on the hand. And the Bible tells him it was an adder. And they call it a poisonous adder. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you Bible now. This is scripture and verse. And this snake bit him on his hand, and Paul does what? He just flicks it off. I'm telling you all, some of you need to just flick this stuff off. Just flick it off. So Paul flicks off the snake into the fire, and the fire consumes the snake. And the people are waiting, watching, and waiting for Paul to die, because they saw the snake that bit him. And I believe my dear friend Robbie Warren said it like this: he was poisoned. I mean, he was bit, but he was what? Not poisoned. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you today that God has a way. This is why sometimes you and I as believers, we can do certain things and go certain places and be in certain circumstances, and we don't get affected like that. Why? Because God has his hand on us. Now, if I didn't have his power, and I didn't have his anointing, and I didn't have his spirit, and I didn't have my faith, then I dare not do that. So, yes, maybe the vaccination make me sick, but I'm trusting God anyway. I'm just following the laws of the land. Because the truth of the matter is, every time I eat that pizza, every time I drink that Coca-Cola, every time I do all this other stuff, I'm probably doing worse damage to myself than maybe that is anyway. You ever try to take a Coke and pour it on a battery? That's some really weird stuff. Go to YouTube, just look it up. Put in Coca-Cola on battery acid and watch how it eats away battery acid. Yeah, you and I put it in our mouths and we drink it. So I'm here to tell you, you do worse stuff. You eat those shellfish, those shrimp that are down there eating oil and all kinds of stuff that man put in the water, and they dumping all kind of radioactive stuff in that water. But you love them shrimp and catfish, though. I'm just saying, you eat that, you say, well, I just pray over and I go on. Well, I'm trying to tell you the same thing. You just eat it, you pray and go on, because you want the wings of the Lord anyway. All that chicken you consume that's hardening your arteries, and you worried about that? Come on, somebody. I'm just telling the truth and shame the devil. This is in your Bible. None of us eat perfect. I know I certainly don't. So all of these things matter. All of them matter. You know, I just find it, you know, really odd, you know, say, you know, well, this stuff don't heal you. And then if that's the case, don't go to the doctor then when you get sick too. You got it, then you got it all the way around. You can't have your cake and eat it too. This is part of being righteous. Righteousness. Right is right, whether I like it or not. He told me to tell it, and I'm going to tell it. Whether it lands the way you want it to land or not. Why? Because I have a level of, now you know this one, accountability. That I'm accountable to you. I want to see you make it. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you be good. Even the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says this, what? That I know the plans that I have towards you. And then for what? Good, prosper you and what? Good success. God wants you to be good. He wants you to be well. But there are some parameters around that. You are still a vessel. Yes, I pay tithes and offer. Can I do some other things with that money I give? Absolutely. But I'm also here to tell you today, look what God has done with me paying it. It's kept me healthy. It's kept me alive. It's kept me employed. It's given me a beautiful family. He's given me a good mind. There ain't much that I can't put my hands to do. Last week, I fixed my wife's car. God has given me people, and what I don't know, he's put people around me who do know who will help me. So instead of me having to go spend almost $2,500 at the Toyota place, he gave me YouTube. Mm-hmm. He gave me some tools. He gave me an uncle's garage that had the other stuff, and an uncle who was willing to help me. And I went down there, and I fixed my wife's car for $250 when it would have cost me what? Just 10%. That's a blessing. And people have, I don't make a lot of money. I'm a school teacher at the end of the day. And we already know how they treat them in this country. But God has a way that what? He would give you wisdom. The Bible says he would give you wisdom to get wealth. So in that wisdom, he said, Peter, stop being lazy. Go buy the parts. Call your uncle. Go to Raleigh. Go fix the car. Took a little while, but we did it. She's driving it right now. She drove it here today. Do you see what I'm saying? That was wisdom. And that allowed us to be able to what? Now we can use the money that we need to do for other things. Yes, we have to maintain. There's some things that I just would not do. I get that. But some of the stuff, I just got to not be lazy and just go ahead and get it done. You know, some people pay people to cut their grass. I know, I get it. It's about time. I would like to too, but I'm not there. So I get on that lawnmower and I go out there and I cut it. And when that boy get old enough, he'll be out there cutting. Do you see what I'm saying? So how God's given us wisdom. So persecution is going to come. But he said, with that persecution, don't worry about it. I got you. I've always had you. I never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And as we come to a close in this series, I want you to know this, that God has already given us the machine learning language. He's already told us how we should act. He's told us how we should walk. He's told us how we should talk. He told us how we should move. He told us how we should move. They're already what? In the earth. All these things are already there. He told us all of these things where? Right here in this song. Right here in 5 and 3. So if you ever find yourself in a place to say, you know what, Peter? I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Let me tell you this. This is how you all say, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so you is persecuted them that their prophets which were well before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, what shall it be salted? If it is therefore against God, for good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden upon by the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and is giving light unto all that are in the house. So therefore, let your light shine before men, that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which are in heaven. That's what you read when you're down. That's what you read when you don't know what to do. That's what you read when you're struggling with a decision. That's what you read, and that's what you read to. That was the word of God, word for word. Matthew 5:3. Reach for it. Reach for an offering. Because what? He's got you. And I want you to know, if you didn't get nothing else out of this series, this month, if you got nothing else out of this, know that what? There's a way that God wants you to go. And it starts with your thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. God bless you all on this morning. I hope that you have found this word to be a tremendous blessing to you on this morning as we get ready to walk towards the close of our service. Is there anyone who need prayer? Hallelujah. We ask for those who may need prayer on this morning. Amen. We want to reach out and we want to pray with you to know that God has got our back. He's got us. We want to pray for all our children, amen. As they prepare to go back to school, we know our children are going back to school, amen. As we come forth. And Jesus, thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you, thank you. If you're watching this telecast live, I ask that you go ahead and get your hand up, your children. Your children are preparing to go back to school. Amen. If they're preparing to go back to school on this week, those who have already gone, I ask that you go get your children. Grab them by the hand. You anoint their hands with oil yourself. Amen. And we're going to pray for our children as they go back. And we pray for our teachers and our administrators and all of those, that God will keep his hand around them in this COVID season. That God will keep his hand, that he knows them, that he sees them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us out right now. Lord, we thank you for that change of our limbs, oh God. Lord, I ask that you look upon our children, oh God. My children, Lord, as my children stand proxy for all the children around the world. Not just our children, oh God, but Lord, all the children in Greensboro, all the children in North Carolina, all the children in the United States, all the children everywhere. Lord, for you told us to raise up a child the way they should go, and when they get old, they should not depart from it. Lord, we ask you to disgrace you and extend your mercy, your grace, Lord, that nobody's child be sick, that nobody's child lose their life. Lord, I ask that your mercy, Lord, should be upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch each and every teacher, every administrator, every person that have the rule of them, Lord, let their intentions be good and let them follow through on good intentions. Lord, we rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. For he doesn't have any presidents over here, Lord. He doesn't have any power, oh God. But Lord, we ask that you keep our children. Touch them, oh God. Let them be obedient, Lord Jesus, to their teachers. Lord, let the teachers teach them in a way, Lord Jesus, that they use and they go forth, oh God. Lord, I ask that you watch them and keep our college students. Lord, I ask that you watch them and keep each and every one of them. Touch our professors and those administrators. Bless them. Keep them, oh God, Lord Jesus. Help them, oh God, as they go forth. Lord, I ask that you touch those that are in preschool, oh God. I ask that you watch them, you keep them, oh God. Love on them, Lord Jesus. Help them, oh God. Help them to grow and learn all the things that they need to learn and things they need to do. Lord, I ask that you watch them and keep the preschool teachers. Bless them. Keep them, oh God. Hold them, oh God. Watch them, all the children in daycare, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be. Lord Jesus, there we have some of our friends watching all the way from the West Indies, oh God. I ask that you continue to watch over Sister Bowden, oh God, and her daughter. Lord, I ask that you bless them and you keep them, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God. Lord, I ask that you help her to get that veterinarian license, Lord Jesus, and that degree and bring her back here safely. Bless her, Lord. Keep her, Lord Jesus, from all the storms and things that come through. And Lord, we want to say we thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you watch over and keep Quartasia. Bless her, Lord. Make sure that she has all the things she needs. Open up doors for her financially, Lord. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to continue to bless Brother Jay, Lord Jesus. I ask you to continue to watch him and keep him, Lord, while he's over in the same state. I ask that you bless him, keep him, oh God. Keep him in the palm of thy hand, oh God. Love on him, oh God, like only you can. And Lord, we thank you for all the children of the Safe House Church, oh God. Madison, Preston, oh God. Layla, oh God. Sean, oh God, Lord Jesus. Lord Bryson, Lord. And Nova, Lord, I ask that you touch all our children, oh God. Keep them, oh God. Love them, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Touch our administrators, oh God. Sister Ely Lee, oh God, Lord. Myself, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Sister, oh Jesus, Pam, oh God. Hicks, oh God. Touch our teachers, oh God. Lord, Sister Taylor, Lord Jesus Nicholson, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Lord, bless all of them, Lord. To help them, Lord God, to be all that you call them to be. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you for this hedge protection, Lord. We ask you a hedge protection, Lord Jesus. For everybody who's watching me, Lord, whether it's their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren, bless them, keep them, hold them in the palm of thy hand like only you can. And we ask that you do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you watch over and you keep Brother Brooks right now, Lord Jesus. I ask that you touch him in his body. Lord, you raised him up, Lord. You've kept him a long time, Lord. They say he should have thrown in the towel, oh God, but he's still here, oh God. Lord, I ask that you continue to touch his body, oh God. I want to see him come in this place, oh God. That's my desire, Lord, to see him come in here, oh God, and say, what must I do to be saved, oh God? Can I get baptized, Pastor Eli, oh God? Lord, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you fill him with the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh God. That you fill him under, oh God. That you would change that whole Hilton family, oh God. Lord, that you bring them all to those, oh God. Lord, that you turn them out of it. It ain't about who's up here, but it's about who works through me, oh God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for it's in your will that no man be lost. Lord, and we honor you, Lord Jesus, today. We honor you in your glory. We honor you in your power, Lord. We honor you in your strength. Lord, we thank you for how you expand in our territory. Lord, let our words not fall on deaf ears, oh God, but they go forth, Lord Jesus. Bless your people. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we love you, and we praise your name. Lord, I ask that you take us down the road safely, bring us back safely. Give us traveling mercy, oh God. Lord, we thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, oh God. I ask that you bless it, oh God, some a thousand, some a hundredfold, according to your riches and glory. Lord, I ask that you touch us in the benediction, oh God, that we leave this place and go to our homes or wherever it is we desire to go. Lord, you bless us and keep us. Keep us throughout the whole week, oh God, and let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us in any form of fashion. Lord, as we let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. And we ask that you do all these things of others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Hallelujah. I hope that this service has been a blessing to you all. If we have been a blessing to you all, I ask that you all be able to help.